Sometimes foolhardy voyagers. They offer an important rejoinder to the idea, widespread across Europe, that such journeys are acts of pure opportunism. For many migrants, the decision to leave home, in the words of Nigerian academic Adiranti Adepoju, exchanges misery without hope for misery with hope. In 2017, as crucial elections loom in the Netherlands, France, and Germany, the nature of the crisis will change. It will no longer be primarily a matter of numbers and state capacity. Instead, it will become a test of the European project's liberal values and of the EU's commitment to the international system for protecting refugees that many of its member states have championed for more than half a century. The EU will no longer be able to defer hard questions. People on the move. To write the new Odyssey, Kingsley interviewed people in 17 countries, stringing together vivid snapshots of migrants, people smugglers, advocates, and occasionally policymakers. He returns throughout the book to the story of Hashem, a refugee who travels from Syria to Egypt, Italy, and eventually Sweden. As The Guardian's first migrant correspondent, Kingsley has witnessed hundreds of migrants' journeys over the past few years and has delved into the complex machinery of smuggling that facilitates them. The book brings home some of the mundanity of these lengthy voyages, but also the ingenuity of the travelers. In the Western Balkans, Kingsley describes groups of young men sharing cigarettes and cracking jokes as they pick their way across the muddy terrain. Hashem, meanwhile, travels by train across Northern Europe, hiding behind newspapers written in languages that he cannot read to escape the scrutiny of train guards. Like Kingsley, MacDonald Gibson focuses on harrowing individual stories, but she does so in greater depth, following just 5 migrants on their journeys to Europe. One of them, Sina, is a pregnant Eritrean woman desperate to find a better future for her unborn child. A 24-year-old middle-class chemical engineer, she stands in sharp contrast to the media's caricatures of the migrants as impoverished and uneducated. MacDonald Gibson's book thoroughly examines the forces that impel her characters to move and the personal conflicts they face as they make their decisions. An experienced foreign correspondent, MacDonald Gibson displays a strong grasp of regional geopolitics and the European policies and politics in which her protagonists are entangled. Her detailed narrative of the oppressive circumstances in Eritrea, for example, where the government forces people into indefinite military service, sheds light on a country that has become the single largest source of migrants from Africa, but that Western media tend to overlook. Although the overall recognition rate of asylum claims from Eritrean nationals reaches around 90% in Europe, she notes that countries such as Denmark and the United Kingdom have started to dispute these asylum seekers' accounts of the conditions they face at home. And the United Kingdom now recognizes far fewer Eritreans as refugees. Meanwhile, in Italy, the conditions that greet asylum seekers are so poor that Eritreans try to avoid making their claims there. Governments have understood that generosity has a cost. Indirect policies of deterrence are increasingly prevalent. Balancing act. In their attention to individual stories, these books indirectly illuminate why policymakers have struggled to resolve the crisis. To function effectively, immigration systems must create policies that are broadly applicable to all arrivals. But for the individual migrants themselves, with their widely varying experiences, blanket EU policies can seem arbitrary and authoritarian, especially when their fates often depend on the whims of particular officials. Balancing humanitarian responsibilities with the need to manage migration, while heeding the desires and fears of European publics, has become a defining challenge for the EU's liberal democracies. Given these difficulties, people across the political spectrum have tended to oversimplify the apparent policy choices, boiling them down to an all-or-nothing decision. Borders should be open or closed. At times, both authors, and particularly Kingsley, fall prey to this kind of thinking. In his policy prescriptions, for instance, Kingsley neglects to contend with some of the complex trade-offs that have made the crisis so difficult for officials to solve. He points out correctly that when countries close their borders, they often simply divert the flow of refugees rather than reduce the overall numbers. An example of the beggar-thy-neighbor policies that have defined much of the European reaction to the crisis over the past year. But like many who advocate a more welcoming approach, he also fails to engage deeply with some of the challenges posed by more porous borders. Kingsley's primary policy prescription is that the EU can solve the crisis only by establishing legal means.